longer. If you can turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 42, we're going to read from verses 1 through to 4. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through to 4. A beautiful portion of scripture we're going to read. It's a prophecy by Isaiah, a prophecy of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. And it's on the screen. You've also got it in your Bibles there. Behold my servant. Everybody say, behold. He's saying, listen up, prepare. As the prophet would say, prepare for a new revelation about the coming Messiah. Behold, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles or the islands shall wait for his law. A prophecy of Jesus by Isaiah. He said he's not going to cry, he's not going to shout, he's not going to go and want to be heard in the streets, he's going to be quiet. And a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax will he not put out or quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A prophecy of Jesus, and I want to speak today. Hope for a bruised reed. Hope for a bruised reed. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word. We thank you, Jesus, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you came to seek and to save the lost. Oh God, that you came in flesh to die for us, laid aside your kingly robes, oh God, and came to this earth to rescue us from our sinful condition. We thank you for your tender love today, and we give you all the praise and all the worship. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hope, hope. For the bruised reed. Hope for the bruised reed. Isaiah was a wonderful prophet. He prophesied so much about Jesus. In fact, I would say that Isaiah was one of the most inspired people in the Word of God. He was prophesying about Jesus 700 years before Jesus would even be born. He was prophesied. He was prophesying that Jesus would come to salvage, that Jesus would come to save mankind from sin. In fact, many have said that Isaiah, when he prophesied, he was prophesying as if he was right there watching it all unfold. He prophesied all those years before Jesus was born that Jesus would be born to a virgin. He prophesied that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which meaning interpreted is God with us. Isaiah told us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That was a prophecy by Isaiah in chapter 9. He also prophesied very specific details about Jesus' crucifixion. He spoke that Jesus would be spat on and struck. He spoke that Jesus would be disfigured by suffering. He spoke that even Jesus would be buried in a rich man's tomb in Isaiah chapter 53. All of this is hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And in our scripture here today, Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah starts with the word, the profound word. He says, behold. He says, listen up. Let me get your attention. Prepare yourself for something new, a fresh revelation about this Messiah. And he prophesied. He said, Jesus would not break the bruised reed, and he would not quench the smoking flax. He prophesied that though he would be the Messiah, that he wouldn't come with loud clamor, and he wouldn't come with loud noises. He wouldn't come with a trumpet sounding. He would come to us as a tender, loving Savior. A bruised reed. They're going to play a sound right now, the sound of a reed flute. A reed was a small instrument that a shepherd would make. They call it the nay flute. A small flute pipe that was made from a reed. The reed, a bruised reed, was one that was bent. It was withered and cracked. And when a reed became bent or withered or cracked, it no longer was worth anything as a flute or an instrument. Bruised reeds, because reeds grew on the water. Bruised reeds could be found anywhere, so a bruised reed would just be thrown away. And another one could be easily bought. Another one could be easily be found. You could just go down to the river, Brother Jonathan, and you could just cut one at any time. And so shepherds would go down to the river and they would take a reed and they would carefully carve out the finger holes and carefully whittle that piece of reed. And then they would play that beautiful music. Shepherds had a lot of time. Sitting in the fields watching the sheep, they would play the reed, play that flute reed, play that nay flute. They would whittle it ever so carefully, carving those finger holes. And when they had a little bit of downtime, they would play the reed flute. And Isaiah prophesied. He said that Jesus would not discard a bruised reed. Like shepherds, when that reed became bruised and withered and cracked and the moisture had got into it and it became bent and all of those things, shepherds would throw them away. But Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would not discard the bruised reed. He said that Jesus wouldn't throw away a bruised reed, but Jesus can work with a bruised reed. You see, the shepherds of that day, those shepherds, worldly shepherds, earthly shepherds, when a reed was bruised, they would throw it away. But as I have prophesied, he said, there is coming a great shepherd. There is coming a great Savior. There is coming a Messiah. He won't come with a trumpet sound, but he will come tender and loving, and he won't throw away a bruised reed. A bruise. How many people have had a bruise at some time? Anybody had a bruise? Yeah. A bruise is not something that's on the surface. A bruise is something under the surface. But you can see it. It's something that has happened under the surface, but the bruise comes to the top, knowing that underneath there has been some damage or there has been some sort of hurt under the surface. And I know some of us may have had some scars and some wounds, but I also know that there are many here today, even joining us online, that you have had bruises under the surface. Other people may not see them. Other people may not know about them. But there are hurts and there are bruises under the surface. And I'm mindful today that I'm preaching to a people who have been through difficult times. There have been people here that have been through divorce, through hurt, abuse, or something in your past. And maybe it's not obvious to everybody, but you carry the bruise under the surface. Let me tell you today that this world may write you off, but Jesus will never write you off. This world will throw away a bruised reed, but my Savior will never throw a bruised reed away. He can take your bruised life. He can take your wounded life. He can work with it, and he can make a beautiful sound. I want to tell you today, there is hope for a bruised reed. There is hope for a bruised reed. You see, Jesus can take our life and he can work with our life. Even though we may be bruised, even though we may be bent out of shape, even though we may feel broken, I want to tell you, we've got a God who is rich and he became poor so that we who are poor can become rich. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. Even though we were bruised by sin, something under the surface, he was bruised for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. This is Isaiah again. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. There is hope for a bruised reed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, while we were broken, while we were lost, while we had no way, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That means to me that he didn't wait until I became holy. He didn't wait till I became righteous. He didn't wait until I got it all together and had all my ducks in a row, if you want to say that. But he didn't wait. You know why he didn't wait? Because if he had waited, he'd still be waiting. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are holy like God. None of us are righteous like God. In fact, our own righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't do it on our own. And if he had waited for us to do something, he'd still be waiting. But he took upon our sin and he made us righteous. We became the righteousness of God in him. If he had waited, he'd still be waiting. And so if you think society may have kicked you out, if you feel like some people may have written you off, I want to tell you, Jesus will bring you in. There is hope for a bruised reed today. Let me tell you, there is hope for your future. There is hope for today. There is hope for you in heaven, because Jesus doesn't throw bruised reeds out. He brings them in. The old song says something beautiful. Something beautiful. Something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. Listen, all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. All I had to offer him was a bruised reed. All I had to offer him was a smoking flax. I didn't have much to offer him, but he made something beautiful out of my life. And if you are a bruised reed today, if you are a smoking flax today, I want to tell you, Jesus knows where you are, and there is hope for you today. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You see, this church, when I look at this church, I see the congregation of the bruised. The bruised reeds and the smoking flaxes. All of us have been bruised in some way. But we who are here today, once we were bruised, but now we sing the song of redemption. Now the good shepherd can play a beautiful song with our life. And in our life, he took our bruised reed. He took all that we had to offer. And now we sing the song of redemption. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. You see, we found favor in a Savior. He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. He will not throw away or break a bruised reed. He will not put out a smoking flax. He can restore and he can renew. And so think about that today. God knows everybody here today. He's the all-knowing God, all-powerful God, the everywhere present God. He knows every situation here today. He knows the condition of every life, and he knows the condition of every home. God knows the problems that you were facing today. He knows the problems you've faced in the past. God knows the things that are consuming you right now and just seem so drastic in your life today. And Isaiah was looking forward to the birth of Jesus. And he said, there is coming the servant of the Lord. And he is going to make a way where there seemed to be no way. He's going to make a way. He's speaking of to Israel. He says, this servant of the Lord is going to restore Israel. Although they were in rebellion against God, this servant is going to bring restoration back to the people of God. This servant is going to make a way for the people of God to be restored back to right relationship. And who is this servant speaking in our text? It's speaking, of course, of Jesus. Because here is the fulfillment when Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Everyone say, he healed them all. I love those four words right there. He healed them all. And charged them that they should not make him known. He said, don't go shouting in the streets about this, that it might be filled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. This is the fulfillment of what Isaiah spoke about. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. A bruised reed. Everyone say a bruised reed. And everybody say a smoking flax. That smoking flax is like a wick on a candle. That smoldering wick. You know, see, when a candle's wick begins to smolder, it no longer gives light. It's almost out. It's smoldering. There's something more about a smoldering candle. It becomes really annoying because it seems like its purpose is gone. It's no longer bringing light to the room, but it's filling the room with smoke. And we are quick, because of this annoying smoking flax, we are quick to go over and put that smoking flax out. Because why? We have deemed that candle, that wick, is no longer worth anything. And Jesus said, instead of discarding, instead of putting that smoking flax out, Jesus will come patiently, and he will tenderly work with that wick and trim it and relight it again. You see, what the world throws out, Jesus can restore and make new again. And I know you look at your life and you say, oh, Pastor, I'm nothing but a smoking flax. Once upon a time, I was burning bright for the Lord. But right now, there's no fire in me, just smoke. Let me tell you, Jesus can work with your life again. Let him take your smoldering wick. Let him trim it. Let him light you again. Let him revive you. Let him refresh you. Let him set you on fire again, that you can be a light to the world. I want to tell you, there's hope for a smoldering flax. There is hope for a bruised reed. You see, this is the difference between man and God. If you're broken today, the world will throw you out, but Jesus will never throw you away. I used to love watching wildlife documentaries, and I still do. The sound of Mr. Attenborough doing those wildlife documentaries. It was very intriguing. I loved them as a child. I still do. But if you watch those wildlife documentaries, you'll often see the documentaries about the mass annual migration of the animals. And that was incredible, the migration of so many animals. And there was the movement through different areas of the world of an astonishing number of animals, especially the wildebeest. Anybody remember the wildebeest? Those, I don't know exactly what they look like, but kind of like cows. But these wildebeests would cross over the river, and crocodiles, being smart, would often be waiting each time around the same time of the year, because they had learned that at this time of the year there would be this mass migration of the wildebeest, and they would go through the rivers, and the crocodiles would be waiting. The same is in the Torres Strait Islands, up between the tip of Australia and Papua New Guinea. The indigenous people up there tell me that there was some deer introduced into Prince of Wales Island. And the deer migrate from one island to another. And they migrate at the same time every year. And so as the deer go into the water, guess who's waiting? The crocodiles and the sharks. And so the crocodiles would be waiting for the wildebeest to come in. They'd be lying in wait. It is the biggest feast of the year for the crocodiles. These large animals, these wildebeests, they're not small animals. They are strong. They're not easy to take down. But the crocodiles would come up and they could easily bring a wildebeest down. They could easily drown that wildebeest and tear such a huge animal into pieces. Now, I know it's quite shocking, but that's the animal world. It's horrifying, yes, but it's awesome as well. But then that crocodile, with those fierce jaws, able to bring a wildebeest down and drown it, all those things, that crocodile with the same jaws that can tear a wildebeest apart can carry a small little baby crocodile in its mouth. Crocodiles have also been known to move their eggs in their mouth. These animals of such power, but also of such tenderness. You see, they can hold that delicate egg. They can hold that little baby crocodile between its teeth without breaking it. Let me tell you, that is a great picture of our God. That is a great picture of Jesus, who came as God in flesh. The Bible says all power was in his hands. He spoke the world into existence. Colossians tells us that he holds the world together. By him all things consist. I spoke about it last week. The Lord, Jesus Christ, the Lord, he is the owner, the master, the boss, the controller. The Almighty God. But who can be so tender and so loving? A bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax will he not put out. Here he is in meekness. You see, meekness is not the absence of strength, but meekness is strength in a tender situation. The Bible, the song sings about, there he lay meek in a manger. Yes, he was tender, but he was also the King of Kings, and he was the Lord of Lords. Yes, he was also the one by whom all things consist. And a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. That's our God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head. Everyone say the head. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all, and that in all things he may have the preeminence. As great as our God is, he will not break a bruised reed, and he will not put out a smoking flax. There is none stronger than Jesus. He was fearless before those who opposed him. Never once hesitated to say what needed to be said. Even if he knew it would provoke violent opposition, Jesus spoke the truth. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He confronted those who needed to be called out. He declared victory over death, hell, and the grave. This is no weak man. But he also has the capacity to show tenderness to those who are delicate and fragile. And I tell, maybe you're sitting here today and you are mindful of the awesome power of God. Yes, that's a good thing. That the Bible even says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But I want to tell you today that we have a loving and a tender Savior. A bruised reed will He not break. He's in the business of restoration. He's in the business of renewing and reviving. I want to tell you, that's my God. And that's who, at this time of the year, we celebrate: Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He doesn't come to condemn, He comes to save. Think of the woman wiping His feet with her tears. You know, this sinful woman comes and starts washing Jesus' feet and wiping them with her tears. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, when everyone else is shocked, Jesus, you realize who this woman is? He says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. He didn't just say her sins are nothing. He said, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. That's what Jesus said. What about the woman who was caught in adultery there? Everyone's standing around ready to throw stones. That's the picture of the world. They're going to come and they're going to break a bruised reed. They're going to write you off. But Jesus says, he who hasn't sinned, and you can cast the first stone. And once again, He didn't say, it's okay, just keep living in sin. He said to this woman, He said, go and sin no more. That's about the way Jesus treated the outcasts of society. We look at the way Jesus treated the lepers. We look at the way, and that they were sick. But then we look at the way that Jesus treated Zacchaeus, who was somebody who wasn't necessarily very liked amongst society. He was a thief and a tax collector. And Jesus said, I'm coming to your house for tea. Why? Because there is hope for a bruised reed. There is hope for a smoking flax. Think about the disfigured man who Jesus met in Matthew chapter 12. This disfigured man, he was a bruised reed. But Jesus reached out and gave him strength. He gave him his purpose back. He cured his withered hand, his shriveled hand, as He stretched it forth. We think about Jairus, who had lost and was mourning his daughter's death. But Jesus strengthened his faith and raised His daughter from the dead. We think about the woman with the issue of blood. Yes, she was a bruised reed. Yes, her life had been bruised, and Jesus restored her to full health over and over and over again. We see through the Gospels that there is hope for a bruised reed, that there is hope for a smoking flax. And I want to tell you, we've got a God. His name is Jesus, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're here today and you're a bruised reed, maybe it's something under the surface that nobody else knows about. Let me tell you, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. There is hope for a bruised reed. There is hope for a bruised reed. You see, if you come to Jesus with your mess, He will not reject you. If you come to Him feeling pressed down with the troubles of this world, He will be your refuge and your strength. He will have pity on the brokenhearted. He will have compassion on the humble. He will forgive those who come repentant to Him. He has healing for those who are sick. I want to tell you, there is hope for a bruised reed. On the 15th of January, 1919, there was a container holding more than 8.7 million liters of molten molasses. Anyone know what molasses is? There was this big, big container, 8.7 million liters of molasses. It's a hot liquid. And what happened is that container burst, and 9-meter wave, you read about it, it happened there in Boston in the U.S., a 9-meter wave of hot syrup drowned people and animals, destroyed buildings, and even crushed cars. This enormous tank, 15 meters high, 75 meters around. The reason why it burst is because it was poorly designed. It would continually leak. And everybody knew about the leak. But it would continually leak. And maybe those that were meant to be maintaining this tank were like the ACT government, you know, with the potholes, you know. Just kept filling them up and hoping they'd go away. And so this tank would continually leak. And so what they would do is they'd just keep painting it and covering up the cracks. In fact, they had learned that the best way to paint it was to paint it in the same color as the molasses. Because if the molasses was leaking out, nobody would be able to tell. Out of sight, out of mind. And it was dangerous because they did nothing about it. But eventually it burst, killed 21 people, injured 150 people. Why did I tell you this story? Let me tell you why I told you it. Because if there are cracks in your life, you can't just keep sweeping them under the carpet. Pay attention to the cracks in your life. Don't ignore them. Don't try and hope that they're just going to go away by you ignoring them. Because if you ignore them today, they will drown you tomorrow. And we all have cracks. We are all broken vessels. But Jesus says, no matter how cracked you are, no matter how broken you are, you can't fix the cracks yourself. Bring your cracked vessel to Jesus and He will bind you up. He will bind the brokenhearted. You see, a lot of people think, you know what, Pastor, I really want to become a Christian. I'm going to start coming to church. I know I've got to, you know, but first, I just got to sort my life out. There's some things I've got to fix and just sort all these things out. And they say, you know, when I get good, I'm going to come to God. But that's not how it works. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. And you can't fix the cracks in your life. If you just keep covering them up with your own righteousness and your own ways, let me tell you, what you ignore today will drown you tomorrow. But come to Jesus. He will not break a bruised reed. He will not put out a smoking flax. There is hope today because we've got a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 34 verse 6 says, God is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Hosea chapter 14 verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding and I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. Micah 7 verse 18 and 19 says, he will not retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy and he will again have compassion on us. Our God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of restoration. And because of that, there is hope for a bruised reed and a smoking flax. If the musicians could come. We've got a Savior who leaves the 99 and will come for the one. He leaves the 99. And you say, well, I'm really a nothing. I'm not a name. I'm not rich. I haven't got much. I don't profess to be anyone important. But we've got a Savior who will leave the 99 and go and find the one. The world will say, well, you got 99, forget about the one. But Jesus says, no, while there's still one broken reed, I'm going to go and find it. While there's still one smoking flax, while there's still one lost sheep, we have hope because of Jesus. The story of Christmas cannot be complete without explaining why Jesus came. He came to die. And the thing that took Jesus to the cross was when Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And those that got the 30 pieces of silver, they felt so guilty that they had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. They felt so guilty that they went into the temple. They said, we don't want the money anymore. And they threw it on the floor. Matthew chapter 27 verse 5 to 7. It says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. This is Judas, and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful that we put them in the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they counseled amongst themselves, and they bought themselves a potter's field. Everyone say a potter's field. They bought themselves a potter's field to bury strangers in. When the silver was taken, they said, we don't want it. It's the price of blood. And so they said, but we can do something with it. We'll go and buy a potter's field with that money, so that when strangers are in town and they die, we've got somewhere to bury them. What was a potter's field? You see, back then, most of the things they used in the kitchen and around the house were made out of clay. And so pottery stores were everywhere, like Woolworths. There was pottery stores. A potter would be working and making all sorts of vessels. And so when those vessels broke, when they were being made, the potter needed somewhere to throw them. And so a potter's shop would always have a potter's field next door. And the potter would take the broken pieces, the marred pieces, and he would throw them into the potter's field. That field would have been full of all sorts of junk. Broken vessels, cracked pots, pieces and shards, all broken. How they broke, they just broke. But when Jesus died, they took the price of his betrayal, those 30 pieces of silver, and they bought a potter's field. And that is prophetic, because it was prophesied also in the Bible that they would take the price of him that was betrayed and they would buy a potter's field. But that is a picture of what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. Because Jesus died, and when he died, he purchased the potter's field. Yeah? And who's in that potter's field? You and I. Every person that has been broken by the circumstances of life. Every person who has been broken by sin. Every crackpot. Every broken life. Every piece. Every vessel that has been shattered into pieces. Let me tell you, Jesus purchased you on the cross. And he's still purchasing the potter's field today. He's not like the shepherd who throws the broken reed away. He says, no, bring the bruised reed to me. I can make something new. I can make something beautiful. He's not like you and I who go and quench that smoking flax. No, he says, bring that smoking flax. I can work with that as well. I can light it again. I want to tell you today, Jesus still buys the broken. He still buys the bruised. He still buys the embarrassing. He still buys those that the world has thrown away. There is hope for a bruised reed. Let's stand in this place right now. We've got so much to thank him for right now. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Hallelujah. Come on, right now, every single one of us ought to lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't wait on me. Thank you, Jesus, that while I was a sinner, you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't wait for me to get good, but, oh God, you came to me a bruised reed. You came to me a smoking flax. You came to me a broken life. You came to me a cracked vessel. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let there be a praise in your mouth right now, church. Let there be a praise in your mouth. You've got so much to thank him for today. That's the simplicity of the gospel, brothers and sisters. Don't overcomplicate anything. It's so simple that Jesus died for us. If you respond to him today, come lay your burdens down at this altar and say, Jesus, here I am, a bruised reed. Here I am, a smoking flax. Take my life and do something, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's just worship him today. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. This altar is open. You want to come and pray? Every single one of us are bruised reeds, smoking flaxes. Come and put your life in his hands today. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Jesus. There's hope for a bruised reed today.